This day in history takes us back to 1917 and a declaration by British Foreign Secretary Arthur Balfour. The declaration made official the British government's support for a, quote, national homeland for the Jewish people, which was generally seen as an endorsement of the growing Zionist movement.
In 1917, Lord Allenby conquered the Holy Land, and the Jews were promised a national home in Palestine by the Earl of Balfour, a policy endorsed by Woodrow Wilson and by the League of Nations, which made Palestine a British mandate.
As the new rulers of Palestine, the British began to implement the promises made in the Balfour Declaration. However, while it was easy enough to support a Jewish homeland from London, the situation on the ground was far more complex. Jewish immigration to Palestine would only increase in the post-World War I period due to the rise of anti-Semitic groups such as the German Nazi Party. Tensions between local Palestinians and the new arrivals soon erupted into violence, with each side carrying out an escalating pattern of reprisals.
Hitler gets a tremendous ovation when leaving for his first cabinet meeting. The Nazi leader poses with his cabinet, which includes von Papen, seated on his left, who is now Vice Chancellor. President von Hindenburg, temporarily living in the Chancellor's palace, waves a greeting to the multitude of demonstrators at the night parade. From across the way, Hitler appears at his window, and another milestone is marked in Germany's political history.
If there is one place in the world today where the cloud of mass tragedy hangs low, it is the land of Israel. Beyond the blue waters of the Mediterranean lies the low coastline to which millions of Jews all over the world are turning as their dream of home. As Germany and other nations increase their persecution, treat them as pariahs and outcasts, beat them down and trample on them, the Jews are turning more and more to their promised land, to the land which they were told once would be flowing with milk and honey. On the quayside of the Jewish port of Tel Aviv, more and more families are being reunited. More and more children who have come to prepare the way are welcoming mothers and fathers, turning with them towards the new life in the only land in the world where there seems a hope of living in peace. Yet so great is the tragedy that even here the wandering Jew can find no rest. For once peaceful Palestine is today a land of terror and bloodshed. From the virgin desert, under the protection of Britain, the Jew has built himself a modern home. Will he be allowed to keep it? To help you answer that question, in later issues, Pathé Gazette will continue the story of Palestine today.
In medieval Nuremberg, the marching, seething squash of Adolf Hitler's Nazi Congress comes to an end. This year, they say there are 800,000 pairs of boots standing heel to heel, waiting for the Führer's final speech.
Und wir werden in unserem Zeichen wieder siegen!
Terrorism is turning into open revolt in Palestine, and British troops and police are up against a tough proposition. With every Arab a nationalist, any apparently peaceful citizen may be carrying a bomb. And to catch a murderer in an oriental city is like looking for a rabbit in a well-organized warren. Added to which, the Arabs have a perfect lookout system in their minarets. As the Mu'addin call the faithful to prayer, by altering a few syllables undecipherable to Europeans, they can give warning of the approach of police and direct their friends below to safety. In the country, criminals are even more elusive. Outwardly, the Arab peasant is a cheerful individual, interested only in the land and his religion. Yet the most patriarchal may have a rifle hidden in the rocks close by, and be ready at a moment's notice to gallop off and join an armed band. And if things get too hot, every Arab, effendi or fella, has the desert at his back and the life of the nomad Bedouin for refuge. Once among their black tents, a murderer is safe, and will be given sanctuary by tribes from one end of Arabia to the other. Neither armored cars nor aeroplanes have a hope of finding him.
Since the Treaty of Versailles was signed in 1919, there have been only a few really momentous days in the history of Europe. Mussolini marching on Rome, Stalin launching his first five-year plan, Hitler breaking the bonds of Versailles one by one. Today comes another such mighty moment, as Hitler's bond bursting finally carries Nazi expansion across the borders of Germany into the land of his birth. As officials pull down the frontier barriers, the political significance of these pictures is still too fresh in the minds of the world to need discussion. So without comment, we present the story of Germany's march into Austria, across the bridge over the river Salza, into Salzburg. A guardian of law and order looks out over the old walled city of Jerusalem, as once again the irresistible force of Zionism meets the immovable object of Arab nationalism among the blood-stained hills of the Holy Land. Armored cars with reinforced screens patrol the road from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. These pictures from Pathé's own cameraman in the East show the height of the danger in Jerusalem when arson, murder and wanton destruction were making the Holy Land a land of terror. For weeks past, armed bands have been filtering into the city, some secretly through underground passages, others in disguise through the old city gates. By increasingly violent terrorism, they had brought the life of the city almost to a standstill. Then, as more Palestine police arrive, Britain shows that she is master of the situation, cleans up the city, restores order. Once again, the people can walk abroad in safety. In the narrow streets of the Arab city, the bazaars reopen. Peace reigns again. But behind the outward peace lies still the threat of rebellion and disorder. Britain still stands by. By his latest act of naked aggression, Hitler has committed a crime not only against Poland, but against the whole human race. Against the mothers and children leaving the cities of Britain under the great evacuation scheme with a smoothness and speed that avoids a single accident or delay. As they start out on what to them is the great adventure, already German troops, guns and planes have crossed the Polish border to kill and to destroy. So Britain prepares to fight. And never in our history have we been so united in a knowledge that our cause is just. We have no material interest in the quarrel between Germany and Poland, but we shall be fighting for something which is vital to our life and to the life of all civilized people. For in a world where the rights of the weak and the honor of the pledged word can be overruled by the high hand of military power, there is no tolerable life for nations or for peoples. So in spite of our hatred of war, we must meet force with force. And as our children move from the crowded cities to the kind care of newfound friends in safer places, what a tragic contrast to the preparations for the horrible struggle that may lie ahead.
Yes, and so now we're going to take a little break, and the rest will be played after these messages.
Your community event of the year, Greyland Park Festival, is coming November 25th. With food for every mood, a petting zoo, incredible market stalls, and amazing music including Lady Six, Bailey Wiley, and Mellowdowns, Greyland Fest is a celebration of the power of us. We'll be broadcasting live from the fest brought to you by Spark and Citroen, so tune in or come on down and make your dreams. The Greyland Park Festival, Saturday, November 25th. He aha te mianui.
Radio, tonight, 7 to 9. Like a majestic flock of migratory birds, Auckland's leading skate brand affiliated radio show is returning home for summer. When I'm in a New York state of mind, show me that you're mine, girl. Alright. Tune in for a huge range of sweet music, classic bands, scalding hot takes, and advice on how to cuff your pants. Arcade Radio, tonight, 7 to 9. With Mike, Jono, Eddie, Nat, and special guests every week. Only on 95 BFM.
You're listening to 95 BFM's The Wire, and you're just about halfway through our This Day in History segment. When we left off, Europe was approaching World War II, and many Jews were fleeing to the British Mandate of Palestine to get away from all that. However, in the aftermath of the Holocaust, Zionists would take a more militant attitude, which included attacks on British soldiers in Palestine. Like many countries, Britain had restricted Jewish immigration before the war, and so in the minds of paramilitary groups such as the Irgun, had been complicit in the deaths of millions of Jews.
In 1939, Great Britain was faced with war, and at Haifa in Palestine was the terminus of an oil pipeline from Iraq. Peace had to be maintained in the Arab states so that Great Britain would be assured of an oil supply to fuel her planes and tanks and ships in the coming battle. To calm the Arab world, London produced in 1939 a white paper which strictly limited immigration into Palestine.
Eisenhower, accompanied by Generals Bradley and Patton, their faces grim, inspects the concentration camp at Ohrdruf, Germany, captured by American troops. Everywhere are the emaciated dead.
Further exclusive Storm Center reports from Palestine, where men of the British Army and the Palestine Police watch the arrival of a shipload of illegal Jewish immigrants at Haifa. Crowded decks and a packed hold as the newcomers look joyfully towards the land they claim as a national home. So far it looks peaceful and they're welcomed with food and milk. When they get ashore, they'll see what damage has been done to the Jewish cause by the fanatics of the Irgun and stern terrorist gangs. Stringent security measures are the rule among our Palestine troops today. Nobody gets by without a check and double check. After taking these exclusive pictures, Pathé cameraman Ken Gordon was detained for 7 hours for a thorough going over.
In the tense atmosphere of martial law, captives are carefully searched for concealed weapons. Several caches of explosives and small arms were later found. A tennis court serves as a detention pen. As the area of martial law is widened, 6,000 additional troops are placed on duty, and the streets of the holy city become an armed camp. In Palestine, an impasse that affects the whole world.
But it was the rising tension in Palestine that held world attention. Partition had brought a new flare-up in the strife between Arab and Jew. Politically, the conflict appeared to be settled. In actual fact, it had only just begun. The United Nations Special Committee had advocated separate Jewish and Arab states as the uneasy compromise. The plan was accepted by 33 votes to 13. Alexander Cadogan, Britain's representative, abstained. Prince Faisal of Saudi Arabia headed the Arab country's opposition. The Jewish state will include the ports of Haifa and Tel Aviv and the whole of the Negev Valley. The Arab will occupy the fertile eastern part. Jerusalem will come under United Nations trusteeship. First reaction from the Jews was one of joy. Crowds gathered in the streets and greeted the birth of their state with traditional dances. Britain's civic administration is expected to withdraw by May. Jews and Arabs will then govern themselves. Arab opposition to the partition scheme has been violent. The call for a holy war against the Jews went out from Cairo. A 3-day general strike coincided with an intensive recruiting campaign. As in India, transfer of power in Palestine will bring bloodshed. Two states have been born. For the Holy Land, the immediate future would not bring peace. A Pathé dispatch shows the scene in Jerusalem as Jewish and Arab mobs clashed in the center of the city. Men from the Royal Lincolnshire Regiment had to be called in to restore order. All British troops will be withdrawn by May. In the meantime, it is expected that they will move out as soon as possible from Arab and Jewish areas. Authority will be handed over to military forces of the two new states. Both Jews and Arabs have issued general mobilization orders. Jerusalem rioters started fires in many parts of the city. Casualties amount to more than a score killed on both sides. But Palestine's most critical period has yet to come. With British troops away from the trouble center, it remains to be seen whether a threatened full-scale war will materialize. It will be no peaceful Christmas in the Holy Land.